Well, we did it. Yet again, the ball has dropped, signifying a movement into the next year. And this is going to be your year. For this year is 2024.
2024!
What a beautiful song. What a beautiful song to start the new year. Of course, you know that song by now because they won't stop playing it, and I'm glad about that. It's 2024 by Dare L. He dropped that song exactly when the ball dropped, which is incredibly classy and a beautiful way to start off what is truly going to be the best year in human history. And because I know this will be the best year in human history, not just for humanity as a whole, but for you as an individual, I want to start off this year right. With us here today is my beloved wife, Erin Trussell. You know her, you love her, I love her, I'm married to her, I keep impregnating her, and she keeps producing beautiful children. And for that alone, she deserves to be queen of planet Earth. And that is coming. That is coming. I'm opening the seals this year. I am dousing myself in the blood of freshly sacrificed lambs on the new moon of every month. I will be extending my legs by breaking my bones, thanks to my neighbor who is a blacksmith. So I'm going to be taller, I'm going to be anointed, and most importantly, I'm going to be married to the queen of planet Earth. And by proxy, that makes me the king of planet Earth. And I will be in full control, and things are going to change for the better. There will be no more, quote, democracy. Are you fucking kidding me? Are we really going to keep doing that bullshit? Everyone's ready to let it go. How do I know that? Because an angel came to me in a dream and told me that, not because I let people vote or do a poll or some nonsense like that. We don't want to know what everyone thinks anymore, and we don't want to vote. That's 2024 for you, and I am going to lead us into a glorious new age. This will be the last year after this. We're not keeping track. After this year, no more ball drops, no more looking at calendars. Every day is day one. That's it. And if you say it's this year or that day or another day, then you will be gently escorted into my torture chambers, which will be in every single neighborhood. High-level torture chambers. Not this medieval bullshit, not crows pecking out your eyes or your toenails being ripped out by bobcats like they did in the old days when there was democracy and they were keeping track of time. No. We're going to have futuristic torture chambers. No human involvement, because the torturers of the world do not get enough credit. It's a really hard job. Believe it or not, a lot of people don't like to torture others. It's very stressful. They scream. It fucks your ears up. Many torturers, dungeon masters, dungeon attendants, and even dungeon interns get long-term hearing loss from the screams and the sound of the hammers and the sound of the sizzling fat, and which is louder than you would expect. And earplugs don't seem to help at all. And the truth is, you can't really wear earplugs in a torture chamber because you have to be able to hear the torturee. And if you can't hear like the sounds they're making, how are you going to know which phase of torture to move to? That's another podcast. But I'm telling you, everybody, I'm going to make things right. So don't worry. You will not be encumbered with wondering, what's the date? What day is this? That thing where you don't remember what day it is and you wonder if you have senile dementia, if your sleep deprivation is finally causing some atrophy of your neocortex, you're not going to have that anymore because you won't know what day it is, because all we have to do is go 3 weeks without having calendars or any charts and arrest, execute, whatever it takes, get rid of the time fascists. And then no one will know what day it is. No one will know what fucking time it is. We're going to take every clock in the world. We're going to melt it down. And we're going to turn it into a statue of Aaron and I sitting in a beautiful throne surrounded by happy people. That's going to be a pilgrimage spot that everyone must go to at least once in their lifetime, if not twice, or they will face arrest and execution. And I know what you're thinking, that's not enough of a punishment. And I agree with you, but it's just, how much time are we going to put into torturing and arresting? And I don't think we're going to have to keep doing it that long. I'm thinking maybe 3 months of like mass arrests, and then everything will be incredible. So this is the year in store for you. And we're going to jump into this podcast. Let me make some quick announcements. I have got some comedy dates coming up. You can find me at the Comedy Works downtown starting January 11th all the way to January 13th. And then after that, I'm going to be at the Helium Comedy Club in Indianapolis. I don't think I've been to that Helium yet. January 25th to the 27th. February 26th, another beautiful Helium that's in St. Louis. And then April 12th, I'm going to be at the Hyenas Comedy Nightclub. And there's other dates in between that are going to be up at DuncanTrussell.com. Subscribe to our Patreon. It's patreon.com/DTFH. Commercial-free episodes is what you will receive, along with the joy of merging with the greatest community online ever. Speaking of great communities, I'm sorry if this is cheesy or sappy. To all of you who came to my New Year's Eve shows that were at the Mothership, thank you. That was the best weekend of my life. Had so much fun, and I love you guys. Oh, excuse me, sorry. Furball. The poodle shit fur in my mouth last night. A wonderful, wonderful weekend. And I thank you guys so much for helping me sell out the first New Year's Eve Mothership shows. That made me feel really good. And that really is the greatest comedy club on planet Earth. Okay, everybody. Now, everyone, please bow your heads, close your eyes, intone a sacred mantra, and welcome Queen of Planet Earth, Aaron Trussell.
All right, but you do want an X chair.
Do I want an X chair? I do. I want an X chair. I want a vibrating X chair.
Because for years I'd say, I want to get you an X chair.
And I hated
and you'd
it.
You'd say, no, seriously, don't get me one. I don't want one.
They're hideous.
But then over the years, I
could... All gaming chairs are hideous. Like they are.
It's not a gaming chair. It's a work from home chair.
But they try to make it look futuristic. They want it to look like you're flying some kind of spaceship.
It's patented technology.
The thing that it like cools you down by blowing air into your ass pisses me off for some reason. Cause it's just, I feel like it's a commentary on like some kind of late stage capitalist dystopia that like people are working so much and sitting down that it has to blow air on their ass to keep them from dying from overheating.
I wish that your audience could see your studio.
I don't. It's a mess right now.
But it's kind of like a woodworking shed. But I've thought about this. Like, do you think if you had a really comfortable, lush studio with a really nice couch, would you be able to do the same work? Or would you just want to take naps in there?
I haven't wanted to take naps since I got off sugar. Like, I think that's a diabetes situation that I would have wanted to take naps in there. Like,
you got a few urgent naps.
What? Here's recently. What I want. This is what I want.
But less.
What I want, like, if you look around, notice how all the recording equipment, the musical equipment, is like kind of scattered throughout. What I want, my
centralized.
My dream is like a producer's desk that has within it your keyboard. It has within it your all of your gizmos and gadgets. And so you come in to your beautiful soundproof studio, you flip a switch, your shit turns on and it just works. That's my dream. When I come in here, it's like inevitably I have to like, you know, it's like having an old car. Like you have to like pull a tube out and plug the tube in.
Yeah.
Remember why?
It's making that weird noise.
Yeah, exactly.
That it always makes.
Yeah. So my dream that I will have one day is a turnkey. You just flip the switch, turns on and you start making stuff instead of like, ah, fuck, I unplugged this. I need to plug that back in.
Where did you get this desk? That's like a block of wood.
The desk came with the place.
It's actually kind of a cool desk.
I'm like one of those birds that just finds an old nest and lays eggs in it.
It's like everything in here is repurposed.
Yeah, this is my life.
There's nails sticking out. And there's always broken glass on the floor.
Broken glass nails that I wound myself on. So like there's blood involved.
Oh shit, I forgot about that.
Yeah, my love handle got scraped. I have a scraped love handle.
Wait, we need to look up. If we're supposed to do something about that.
Oh, God.
I forgot about that.
You know
that.
What? If that's what fucking takes me down is a nail in my fucking studio, this motherfucker
I
right here.
I see it. God, that thing looks...
Oh, wait.
And it's a huge nail sticking out of your desk.
You need to understand it, didn't you?
Inexplicable nail.
You know how many times it got me? Twice. See, that's dumb.
Like, don't.
Like, getting hit with the nail once is like, okay, you're not used to, like, what I was trying to set up. I never go on that side of my desk. Okay, fine. But when you get hit with it again, because you're in such a frenzy.
Were you angry?
No, I wasn't angry.
That stuff makes me really angry.
No, you know what I do?
I start blaming. I'll go through the Rolodex of blame in my head.
You'll make fun of me for this, but I swear to God what I do with those kinds of, like, archetypical agonies that, you know, hitting your thumb or your shin is I try to feel it all the way instead of like doing
get away from the pain,
not get away from the pain,
right?
Because it's
you
like
just go into the pain.
And what's weird is the pain mimics a high. Like if it hurts, you don't like it, it's a bad high. Mm-hmm. But because it's all neurochemicals, it has a peak. The pain peaks just like acid does, just like nitrous does. There's
I know,
a peak.
Then it gradually subsides.
Then, yeah, then it goes away. And it's really interesting to like watch that and be like, fuck, man, this is like, when's it going to peak? It's got to peak.
You're ready for labor.
Oh, right. That's the same with labor. You watch the pain.
I mean, yeah. At a certain point, though, I feel like it watches you.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, eventually, I mean... You do get an idea of like, my God, like this, I'm sure this peak goes much higher. But yeah, I know the thing where you like hurt yourself and then you want to immediately attack the closest sentient thing around you.
Yeah. We just said at breakfast, we're ready for the holiday lull to end.
Yeah. I didn't even introduce you. Everybody, this is my beautiful wife, Erin. And we are now, as many parents are, in the part of the How, like, why don't you talk about the phases of holidays? Because you're like, you love
Christmas. Can talk about it together. You can jump in.
Okay, start at the beginning.
The beginning is November 1st.
Okay.
The day after Halloween.
Now, what'd you do the day after Halloween?
Put up the Christmas decoration.
And you were very excited.
Yeah.
And you, even throughout Thanksgiving, you're like watching the calendar. Or no, I mean, but throughout October, you're watching that calendar, just waiting for the thing to switch over to November.
Yeah.
So you could start your Christmas project.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so very excited.
Christmas music even goes on at that morning, the morning of November 1st.
Christmas music's playing. We're getting the lights up. And, you know, when
it goes in phases, though. We don't just get it all up in one day.
I think I really want to say this. It's important because I know lots of folks out there are like I used to be about Christmas, which is I, like the Grinch, would have looked at me and been like, are you okay? That's how much I fucking hated Christmas. Like,
Yeah. Like
hated everything about it. Hated, philosophically hated it. Hated the aesthetic. Hated the fucking music. Hated... The only thing I liked about it is people would leave town. And so
I know LA would be really nice.
Did I ever tell you what I saw one Christmas morning? You know, the idea you manifest shit with your mind. So I'm driving home. It's early Christmas morning. I don't remember what I've been doing Christmas Eve. Something not great because I think I was pretty high driving home in the morning.
Jesus.
And I know, and I'm sorry, I've said this story before, but I know I saw this. Like, I know I saw it. And you know Hollywood.
Uh-huh.
It's West Hollywood. Remember that shitty bar right there when you turn up to go to Sunset? Like, it's like, what's the main...
Saddle Ranch?
No, not Saddle. It's not on Sunset. It's on Santa Monica. It doesn't matter. But I'm driving through West Hollywood, and I saw in the early morning when the sun is just coming up, the only way to put it is like a little person in a tiny little carriage being pulled by a goat, and it pulled him across across the road. He was going at a fast clip too.
Okay.
And you know, you see,
sure, that, you saw that.
I know.
Crazy.
Even after, like minutes after.
Why'd you take just a little bit of LSD, a little bit of mushrooms, is a little tree bit of
is it tree talking or is it me or you? No. No, I'm telling you. And since then, I've looked it up.
And?
There are people who have little carriages that get pulled by goats.
Okay.
So I saw one of them. I don't know where they were going. They were in a hurry. It was a fast clip.
They're in a hurry.
And you know, because it's like you're already like, it's Christmas. You're in LA, you're not with your family.
Yeah, you've it's been disorienting.
And then you see a goat pulling a little person in a carriage across Santa Monica Boulevard. And it was like that. It's those moments where LA hits a hell resonance. You know what I mean? Where
See, for me, I loved that.
I'm not saying I didn't love it. I'm just saying, you know, deal with it in the morning. Deal with it in the morning after being on a Christmas fucking bender.
Yeah.
Deal with seeing a little person in a carriage being pulled by a goat.
For me, that would be a sign I was right where I needed to be. That's what kept me in LA.
I didn't see it as like a bad sign. I've often thought about it. I just feel like maybe I saw something I wasn't supposed to. Like,
yeah.
Like what? Because
the portal was like not closing.
Right.
Correctly.
Because it was in a hurry. And all I could think is like, I bet we both have been up all night. Like, I don't know what he's been doing, but
all you can do is just go home and sleep.
That's where after he was that. Headed to some secret cavern under the city to sleep in a fucking pile of old gold coins. So
he might have hooked up with the same girl as you that night.
Might have been who I hooked up with. Now, so phase one for you. It's
elation,
this very sweet. Oh, let me finish what I was saying, though. Now that I have kids and I've been with Mrs. Claus here for a while now, I don't have that anymore. I liked the Christmas music.
You're
I was
excited.
Enjoying it. It was sweet. It's cozy. The kids like it. The lights start showing up. I didn't like your choices for some of the stuff.
What?
Because, like, you go, like... I don't like the Frozen, like, Olaf thing or the...
Why?
Because I just like lights. I don't
it's
like...
It's for the kids. It's obviously hideous.
I know it's for the fucking kids. I know. But I'm just saying, personally...
It's for our kids and the kids in the neighborhood.
And I'll tell you another thing in your Christmas aesthetic that isn't for the kids. It's for you.
What?
And I do not like
what?
It. And now I've started noticing them everywhere.
What?
Christmas deer. What the fuck?
When I did, like them. That they're is, classy.
That's some Mandela effect shit. Because they didn't have Christmas deer when I was a kid. Those things just suddenly appear. Like, all of a sudden, everyone's like, fucking.
Oh, my God. There's a ladybug on me. You would have thought a tarantula was just on me
Wouldn't have been surprised.
Is it off of me?
Yeah, it's off of you.
I really want one on me.
The bugs in here, I don't even want to tell you about.
I just flew out of my chair.
So let's talk Christmas deer. Do you remember at some point in your life there not being Christmas deer?
No, I always remember the Christmas deer.
You remember as a kid Christmas deer?
Yeah.
Because I don't remember the Christmas deer.
It's classy as hell.
It's not classy. It is.
It's so classy.
So fucked up. Every form of, and by the way, when we stayed at the Four Seasons for New Year's Eve, they had fucking Christmas deer.
Exactly.
And those Christmas deer suck. No
Five
offense, Four
star.
Seasons. No. Christmas deer.
Hotel.
There is no way to make a Christmas deer. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's made out of platinum and gold and diamond eyes. They look so dumb.
I'm tweaking out because I feel like there's bugs on me in your shed.
I don't blame you, man.
I'm gonna drop.
Want me to pause it?
No, it's okay.
So yeah, Christmas deer I don't like, the Olafs I don't like, but what I do like, what's contagious, is your Christmas spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You have real Christmas spirit.
Yeah.
And it's contagious. Like, you start really liking it. You're very sweet about it. And you went through phases. This was a journey for you this Christmas, because one day you woman-splained to me.
And my Instagram.
I think this is super...
So embarrassing.
No, I don't think it's embarrassing. I think it's sweet. Because this is a person with Christmas spirit colliding with one of the levels of Christmas that haters...
Well, as we inch closer to the day, I... And preparing the Christmas morning for the kids, I realized... This is my least favorite part of the holiday. It's on me.
Don't move.
Get it off of me.
Your little friend here. Ladybug, fly away home. The goat's in the carriage. I want to go to sleep.
This is unhinged.
Okay,
today.
So let's start over. So tell me, now this is like we're getting close to Christmas. Aaron bears the Christmas weight. Thank you.
Yeah, I organize, decorate, plan.
Everything.
Demand the cheer.
I just get to enjoy it. And so, but you really work your ass off. Like, you do maniac activities such as days away from Christmas. You go to a fucking Target.
Yeah.
And that, I think that's...
That's what sent
that's
me
what
over.
That's what got you.
This, yeah, I was like... Well, first of all, in prior Christmases, we realized we fucked up when the kids, before they're even halfway done opening presents, begin to show disinterest in opening the rest
the
of their presents.
Yeah,
that's
too
when
much.
You're like, okay, we really like this is not.
It's like smelling perfume.
Too much.
You stop smelling it. It's like when you're getting like over and over and over and over and over. All that really seems to happen is a kind of like, it goes from being excitement to this dark frenzy, like in zombie movies when the zombies start eating a horse or something. It's like they're not. The zombie doesn't care about. It's not even hungry anymore. It just wants to eat the horse. So it's like watching zombies rip things open. And so, yes. So, but talk about, because I went to a Target the last Christmas.
I mean, it's just, you know, explosive humanity.
What's the feeling in the air?
desperation.
Yes. And you look on the faces of the parents. And
One's happy.
No one's happy. And so
you're buying. The main thing that bothered me was like the Target toy section is just, it's literally garbage. It's all trash. It's plastic pieces of shit, trash toys. Like yeah. It's garbage.
It's garbage.
You're giving you're buying a bunch of garbage.
Yeah.
To wrap in garbage.
Yeah.
To give to your kids that yeah. already have everything.
Yeah.
And
the children.
You're just, I was like, who is this for? I was like, who is this for?
Right. And so then, now this is very sweet because for me, part of being a depressed person on Christmas is in part of what you relish about it is looking at the normies as they go about their Christmas
their
activities.
Frenzy. Yeah, their Christmas.
And you
frenzy.
Judge them. You look at them and you're like, look at you.
Consumerist
pieces of fucking shit, hypnotized by the fucking
breeders.
Corporations into breeder garbage. You're just buying breeder garbage. It's going to end up in a landfill floating in the fucking ocean. It's all fucking plastic.
Time is a construct. It's just a day like any other.
Day
first
like
of
any
all,
fucking other.
December 25th, not anywhere in the Bible.
And also, we're talking about the fucking solstice. We're talking about spiritual. Spiritual implications
not in
you
the
don't
Bible.
See fucking you wake the fuck up. What's wrong with you? How long are you gonna let them puppeteer you into this fucking materialist fucking frenzy? Why are you teaching your children that matter and the exchange of fucking matter is somehow trumps basic general love, not to mention the pagan roots of Christmas, why we might want to light lights. What does it mean the darkest time of the year? What does it mean that in a person's life when you go into the darkest time? What do the lights represent? You know, on and on. You judge and judge and judge. You drink and drink and drink. And so just I've been in Dante's Inferno when it comes to Christmas. And so then you woman's plain to me.
That's not a thing.
But you
you're
know
trying to coin this.
But you
expression.
Whatever you want to call it, you started giving me your revelation via text. And I answered it sarcastically only because like this for a endogenously depressed user of drugs.
You've also had an uptick in sarcasm recently.
I have.
Overall.
Isn't that cool?
There goes they're chopping down trees.
But I just want to point out, I know I point this out every time, but guys, this doesn't happen all day long. But if
only
I do,
when we do podcasts.
If I do start podcasting, I don't know if you can hear the buzzsaw, it will appear. And I look at it as a good sign now. So anyway, you start texting me.
My Christmas.
I don't think.
Well, that's not entirely. The reason you like to give them a lot of stuff. You're the one. Let's be honest.
Hey, if we're doing a fucking black mass, let's fuck on the altar, baby. I'm like, let's fucking do it. If what's what are you going to do? A half black mass?
No, I know. Well, I think for me, the idea, I realized it's just really not about Christmas morning.
Yes.
It's about the season.
Yes.
And he is the reason
yes.
for the season.
Yes. So
I came up with that day.
Reason for the season.
But then you told me that was not.
I told
remember
you.
Remember when I came up with that?
My sarcasm was like, I just started sending texts like, what? Wait, what? What do you mean? I don't understand. Like, gifts? Capitalism? Wait,
I'm
like, I have to think about this
is bad.
For a long time. And, you know, later on in my sarcasm, I realized, like, that is the sweetest fucking thing ever. Like, somehow you've managed to make it this far and not identify that dark
thread that runs through the holidays. And I think that's fucking great. And remember,
it's always just been nice. It's always challenging on the family side. But then I realized I don't even like exchanging gifts with you. Yeah. That it's dumb, and watching me as I react to what you got me.
Yeah. The whole thing.
It's just not even fun.
I mean, I'd rather get a surprise.
It's pressurized.
Gift. I'd rather get a surprise.
And then inevitably,
gift.
You and I, we send each other links to what we want, and then we pretend like it's just silly.
Well, you do feel kind of like you're what's the word for it? You're doing like dance moves that have been preordained by someone else that you don't even really want to do that dance. But and then I sent you a text, and I mean it, which is that like you like your Christmas spirit, like that it really like helped me see like this level of it that I just never really wanted to address, because I thought it would make me seem like an idiot sap, and
right,
you know, and like that it was sweet because it does have a dark underbelly to it, and yeah, it is a capitalist orgy,
but this plays more into what I said about, or what you're talking about, the phases.
So this is like your second phase.
Then the third phase is like despair for me.
When did that hit? I didn't know you had a despair.
Or what is it? Despair, or what's the better word? Just where I'm like, are you feeling? I'll always test the waters a little bit. I'm like, are you feeling ready to be done with this?
Oh yeah.
Because I don't want to say it.
Oh yeah. And like, I'm fucking white knuckling it, man. I'm like, you know what I mean? I'm like, I just have to fucking white knuckle this shit.
By the end, you mean? Yeah.
And I'm having to do like hardcore like Buddhist practices. I'm having to be like, don't, you know, watch your thoughts. You are not your thoughts. Compassion for the identity. Yes, this is hard. Yes, it is claustrophobic. Have compassion for that. I'm having to do like, I had to set up a meditation altar. I'm having to like, because this is year I didn't want to like become a fucking prick.
We had a massive fight last Christmas Eve and last year.
And this year we didn't.
But we did a few things wrong last year.
Well, yeah.
We went to church late.
Oh, that was so dumb. The church part's not dumb. It's dumb.
And that delayed us setting up.
Subjugating your children to a church service the night before.
No, the church, they were not subjugated.
Well, they were wriggling.
They were liking it.
Subjugate. What?
Forrest got up and sang.
No, there were sweet moments, but it's not that they weren't liking it. It's like they have the attention.
It was a disruption of epic proportions.
Right.
And then we went home, had to get them in bed, all strung out.
So you
on Christmas,
you're just adding
church pleasure.
You're adding an extra weight.
And it's like, yeah, church. Knowing the season you're in as a parent is really important too. Just being like, we have 3 children, 5 and under. Yeah. We're not going to fucking church on Christmas Eve night.
No.
We have a lot of years to do this type of stuff. And so we were smarter about things.
But this is what you did that is really wonderful. You held the space. And that's what you do for your kids. You hold the space.
Yeah.
Do you believe in Santa Claus? Of course not.
Yes, I do.
Okay, you do. And you know, I don't mean I don't believe he exists. I just mean I don't believe in him right now because he's in a dark place. I don't know if you've talked to him lately, but it's like I don't believe a lot of what he's saying. He's gotten into QAnon and shit. But you know,
what I'm saying
is
the storm is coming.
My Christmas memories are foggy, but wonderful. So wonderful, in fact, that when I've been in when I started meditating and finally started having like a settling of the mind and like these flashes of what can happen where nothing is going on of particular import, you haven't left anywhere, you're at your house, and suddenly you feel this familiar feeling that is so wonderful coming home.
Mm-hmm.
And always I would think of Christmas. Always I would think, this is like Christmas. That's how wonderful my Christmases were as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And so you did a great job of holding that
Thank
space
you.
For them. And so that, that when they have, when they refer back to Christmas, you know, I think it's going to
feel, I hope they'll feel the, remember the magic.
They'll remember the magic.
But we, I did have a crying meltdown at Barnes and Noble.
Yeah, that was bad. That was bad. But you know what? You get, you recovered. You recovered. And like, I understood why you were having the meltdown. It's like, you were, you've been running so many errands. You're with a fucking baby. It, it was just like the end of the gathering of toys, traffic, just rainy, just depressing kind of. And like, but I think we did great this year.
I mean, we're having more togetherness today because we're celebrating a birthday. But, and it's funny because I did just think to myself, I think I made a mistake giving up drinking.
Oh, wow. I never thought that you would, that would occur to you 2 days after you stopped drinking. Fucking Irish.
I mean,
when an Irish says they, they're stopping drinking, like it would, it's funny. Like you can look around, anything with eyes will roll the eyes.
You know, like today we're doing a lot of more, you know, a lot more family togetherness again. And I just thought, interesting that I decided to stop drinking.
I mean, you just now. Here's the thing, it, family,
not to stop, I was gonna do a 30-day booze cleanse.
Let's talk about family. It's the name of my fucking podcast, which ironically when I first named it I was thinking more of like Jim Jones, but now I feel like somewhere inside of me I knew that that was the goal, like an actual family. Mm-hmm. When I didn't, when mine was all a diaspora, and literally a diaspora because lots of them were dying. And like,
yeah,
the families are fascinating in that on one level you are experiencing the most incredible love, the most incredible synchronicity with the universe, the most incredible like fundamental primordial ground floor level being held by the universe. And and on another level you feel like a fucking anaconda has wrapped itself around you and won't let go. You want out. That level is I think what happens at the end of the season, which we're at right now, where you're like, I want to get back to my life, my work, my job. I love these people so much.
You
want to
drop these kids off at school.
Yeah. And I think people get confused because they feel guilty that they feel the anaconda sometimes or a lot of the times. And they're like, I must suck. I should be appreciating this all the time. And it's like, if you just listen a little closer, like underneath the claustrophobic, dark, relentless compression of the anaconda, that love is still there. It's right there. Oh, always. It just gets drowned out by the accidents, the lack of batteries, the assembling of the fucking satanic children toys that were shown on a commercial to be like something that fell out of the future. Beautiful, glittery, intelligent, fun, hours of entertainment for the children. And it's just these like crappy, like disintegrated, awful things. You know what I mean? It's just, but I, you know, I just kept going back to what Ram, that Ram Dass lecture where they, he's like, you know, people ask me, Ram Dass, are you happy? I'm so happy. Ram Dass, are you angry? I'm very, very angry. Are you sad? Yes. I'm so sad. How like all the emotions.
He also said, if you think you're enlightened, go spend a weekend with your family.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And that's a famous quote that points to this truth, which is like, shit, man, we trigger each other. Mm-hmm. We know each other so well.
Yeah.
We like see things in the other before they even see it.
And I just told my mom that when I'm like, I can tell he blinks a certain way when he's not quite happy with something that's happening. She was like, you're insane. But it's true though. It's not like that. It's very subtle, but you just do this blink, blink, blink.
Well, I wish you sometimes would let those fucking float by. Like if you, you should see all the internal blinks that are happening, you know, but I think that, you know, we're now in the final phase of parenting toddlers when it comes to the holidays. And and that this is the, we've done great, that we've done great, that,
yeah,
you know, it's, it has not been easy.
We also, we don't have, what was our talk the night before? We were like, let's just expect nothing.
Oh God. Yes.
Let's expect this to just be shitty. Like, let's expect meltdowns. Let's just expect this to suck. And if you and I can just not, let's not argue.
Sadness.
When things are stressful.
Right. Because it's like.
And like, that's a win just right there. Even if everyone.
Great goal.
And so if it's just a little bit better than that, even, you feel great. Like you've won the lottery. The mistake of the early parenting years was you're expecting these transcendent, magical holiday excursions.
Yes, you are. It's the same expectation you have for vacations with kids. You have in your mind like a lifetime of being programmed by movies
and commercials
in it, which demonstrate what I would say does happen on a family vacation and does happen during Christmas.
In moments.
A commercial's 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So a commercial is showing maybe like 10 to 20 seconds that you are going to have, hopefully, on a holiday, a kind of moment of bliss or fun or this is great. But commercials don't show the next 30 seconds after the person gets the new fucking iPhone and then gets a fucking text from someone they're dating being like, I sucked Richard's dick. I'm so sorry. You know,
or your wife bringing up that thing that happened 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't show that. It doesn't show like.
Well, did we talk about, we haven't spoken about our family trip that took us to the depths of hell. And
no.
Then and also like the highest.
The family trip was
paradise.
Wild, man. That was wild. But, you know, it
2 weeks.
Big mistake.
Yeah, I go back and forth.
It was a mistake. Even our pediatrician said that's a mistake. Even our fucking pediatrician was like, don't do that.
She's like, oh, no.
Yeah, that's too much for them. They kids like they're such like creatures of pattern. That if you throw that fucking pattern and you have to throw it on a vacation, you build them up for the vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Now suddenly they're in a fucking plane. Mommy and daddy are like just trying to like get through the airport on the fucking holidays.
Getting along.
You're working hard just to maintain like, okay, we're doing this, but you have.
Which we did successfully. We did.
Totally.
We really did.
It worked perfectly.
I think we were getting along great.
Great.
Yeah.
But then the mistake we made there is because in this one, what we did is we oriented too much to the kids. Kids have their lunches packed. Kids have food. Kids have water.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't eat shit. We weren't eating.
We were eating
garbage.
Vodka.
We were eating vodka. I'm like vomiting almost from nicotine pouches. Aaron thinks I'm having a blood sugar crash.
I thought he was having like a diabetic ketoacidosis.
No, I had like
on
a,
the plane. He was like sweaty and green.
The airport bartender decided to like fix me up and gave me a.
No, that's when Duncan left the family trip. He was like, I think I need rehab.
Yeah, I was like, my alcohol consumption kept creeping.
You were like putting booze in your coffee.
Happily, just pouring booze in coffee.
Okay, to be fair, we have to like explain a little bit what led us to. I mean, let's just say there was an I don't want to talk about his medical issues, but there was an ER trip.
But it was
one of our children in the night.
The medical issue is we're not saying
fine.
He's fine. But I
did
end up.
What was your standard toddler ER nightmare?
I ended up in the ER with my saint-like brother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
A screaming.
And you had to go without me because I had to stay home with the baby who had hit the 4-month sleep regression.
Oh, it was so brutal.
And I was afraid to leave you with the baby.
The night before I slept. Oh, go ahead.
I was afraid to leave you with the. Normally, I would always. I'm better. I'm good in a hospital. I'm just better at that stuff, like most moms are. But the baby was waking up every 40 minutes, and I was afraid you hadn't slept the night before. And I was afraid if I left you with her, you might fall asleep accidentally.
Well,
holding her.
The night before I slept with Dooney.
Yeah. And I was just worried that I knew you were exhausted, but at least people would be watching you in the hospital. Like, so if you, like, or if you fell asleep, it wouldn't be that big of a deal. But if you were in, like,
no way I was going to fall asleep,
a dark condo, like, giving her a bottle, you might pass out.
This hospital, by the way, this ER, Aaron, I kept texting her, like, this is hell. This is how bad it was. A dude in one of those scooters rolls by. I'm sitting with, like, I finally
weeping.
He wasn't, I hypnotized him with the phone.
Okay.
We're watching marbles. He's forgotten for a moment where we are. A dude in a in some kind of, like, electric scooter comes by. The bot underneath the chair of the scooter, where there's, like, this, I don't know, just a plasticky, I don't, catch all. So the catch all is just glistening with dried urine.
Holy shit.
Peppermints, like, just shit that's cigarette butts, things that have fallen down from his ass have stuck there. He wheels up in front of me and my brother-in-law, my kid looking at Marble Run, and says, "You got a cigarette?" It's like, no, I don't have a fucking cigarette, man. And then he just wheels through, not a patient.
Yeah, my brother told me he was there to socialize.
He was there. No, that guy was on a cigarette run. So, like, I guess he, like, wheels down by the hospital, goes through the ER, nabs, smokes. There was a guy next to us who was socializing and somehow knew two or three people in that ER.
It was a small town.
So, Carol. And he's talking about, just went through a divorce. They accused me of, you know, raping her and abusing her. This is all stuff from her childhood. I didn't do any of that.
Oh, my God.
And then that was the beginning of the conversation to a lady who's got a severe vertigo, which is why she's there. She's dizzy. This guy's goes
ear beating her.
And telling stories of his violent friends. And then she said something. Well, my sister tried to gouge my eyes out. And, like, all next to my poor kid.
I know.
And so it was so fucked up. And
we had some bad parenting moments. We definitely yelled at the kids. We didn't handle things the best.
No.
But we almost went home early.
But see, this is that is the forge of parents. The forge of parents is that. It's not some fucking book. It's not some this or that. It's like, it's not TikTok. It's going into those moments of unexpected, profound chaos. That's where you find this reservoir of strength. That's where you, because you have no choice. You know, you have no choice. I found this place where it's like, I have to do this.
Yeah.
I have to stay calm as a dad. I can't freak out. I have to be the loving rock, as they say, because I'm all he's got. And if I'm losing my shit, then what the fuck does he have?
Well, apologies were given.
Yeah, lots of apologies.
On our part.
You have to, you know. And it wasn't bad.
And then redemption. The trip turned around.
Things got better. There were really beautiful moments. And that.
The weather wasn't working for us.
Nothing.
There were just so many problems.
But this is the whole, like, in Buddhism, when they talk about, why are you suffering? You're suffering because you're attached.
Yeah.
What I think that we did that was special this time compared to other times is we did not cling to the bad stuff. We let it go. We had to each day.
Remember,
you know, because we watched National Lampoon's Vacation, which is a commentary on this. And what
it's, I like, are you having fun? No, but with each day there's
fresh hope. So every day you start off, okay, This day, we'll pull it off. And we did. It worked out. I mean,
we mostly didn't, but there were enough redemptive moments.
This is
that
what it did is it shattered our expectation muscle.
Yeah.
We weren't able.
We thought it was low, but it went even lower.
Yes. It shattered our expectation muscle.
Yeah.
We weren't able.
We thought it was low, but it went even lower.
Yes. And that sounds like cynical, like bad, or depressed. But that's what, if you can do that, then, because this is the problem, man. It's like, I don't even know how you would make a realistic version of this. Like, you have the fucking TikTok moms, the servants of the devil, who are portraying parenting as this surgical clean thing, and they with two or three camera angles they film the chaos, but the chaos itself, the commentary on the chaos because of the camera angles, is there's order here. The right. False impression with the symmetry and the shooting and the lighting is that there's order in the chaos. This is not the case. It's not true. So, and they don't film the boring times, and they don't film the, I don't know where the fucking cord is, or I don't understand how to use the remote control, or all the stuff, or wait, fuck, the thing I was counting on that I told them we could do, I can't do that now, or the, yeah, all that. So that gives a false impression of it. And that, I think that's like the disservice that all the media is doing.
Well, that's why I always try to tell people, someone just asked me, they're like, you must not be in chaos, or you have all these kids, you want more kids, like, I guess you're just not, are you just super patient, are you just never annoyed, or what, you know? And it's like, we're fucking annoyed.
Yeah,
it's hard.
Yeah,
you know, but that's just on the one level.
Yeah, you know, what do you want your life to be like? I don't know how long it's been since you've seen Psycho, but what I really, I loved his depiction of Norman Bates, because Norman Bates, after he murders someone, he cleans with this terrifying precision.
Yeah.
And his, you know, he's like that version of life where you know what you really are, but then you're like trying to order everything, organize everything, wipe away all the blood, wipe it all away, get the hotel room just the way it was before.
Yeah.
That's psycho behavior. And it doesn't work. Like, it's better to have your murders mixed in with all the rest, all of it, just a vortex of chaos, and surrender to that. And it's not always chaos. Sometimes
we're like, wow, this is easy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But ultimately, it's the deeper, I was saying, you know, I felt a deeper call to have these souls come through me and into the world. And that's bigger than my own comfort.
Yeah. 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 I mean, that's right. God, Jesus, man, the desire for comfort is one of the greatest traps in the world. And it doesn't even, by the time you get the comfort you're looking for,
it's never even that good.
You're already exhausted from the pursuit of comfort. When you get all your phenomena arranged perfectly, there's a kind of,
it's so true,
it's disappointing. It's like,
well, the yearning for the comfort is better than the comfort anyway.
The yearning for the
anticipation of it.
The anticipation of the comfort will always beat whatever the fucking comfort zone is.
Yeah.
The comfort zone is, it really is like, it's just another form of suffering. It's like, when even in my most comfortable states, it's like, it doesn't last long because I got to piss. I'm out of water. I don't want to watch this show anymore. I want a little more vodka. I wish I was high. Why? I want to fall asleep. And then if you do, for me, if I hit perfect comfort, I just fall asleep.
Yeah.
So you can't you can't extend the comfort that long even. So it's just all this energy gets expended trying to like fabricate some moment that you've decided is going to make you feel better.
I want to put out a show recommendation.
Okay.
Tell the show.
Station 11. So good.
Incredible. I don't even want to say anything else. Just that.
Station 11.
If you want to watch something uplifting in a surprising way.
Because you're going to look at it and think, there's no fucking way this is uplifting.
Mm-hmm.
But it and is.
Just incredible storytelling.
Great soundtrack.
A sleeper hit.
Sleeper hit. Got crushed by the pandemic.
Yeah.
Because during the pandemic, nobody wanted to watch shit about the pandemic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody wanted to see pandemic-related material in lockdown. So here we are. We did it.
It's coming to a wrap.
It's 2024.
This week will feel long.
It won't feel that long.
It will. I think it will. I think it already does.
Well, it's Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
You think it's you got thrown because Monday was New Year's Day and right. You feel like that's Sunday.
Yeah.
You're having a temporal warp.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's already Wednesday.
This is fascinating.
What?
This riveting.
Probably, as opposed to my other ones. So riveting. I don't know. I think it is cool. I like it when people like it when we talk. You know, I think a lot of couples, I think we're very open about our marriage. I think a lot of couples.
Which is in it. Should we do a status update?
Yeah. Status update.
Good.
Good.
Marriage is good.
Marriage is good right now.
Yeah. Temperature's warm.
Yeah, it's nice. But I do think a lot of couples, they feel alone. Because the things they're experiencing interpersonally,
mm-hmm.
they feel like this is abnormal.
Yeah.
When it's probably normal, but because you think it's abnormal.
Well, not to be so cliche, but I mean, the social media stuff isn't helping at all. I have a friend that just got married and she's newly pregnant and there's all these videos on TikTok of these husbands like making.
Sorry, I had to pause to make sure.
She doesn't want me to reveal.
So, well, no, sometimes people on the podcast get very comfortable and they accidentally say something that...
No, I'm okay. Discreet as hail.
Okay, great.
Okay. So there's these husbands, they're women putting out content about their husbands, making them elaborate foods, bringing them elaborate beverages, smoothies, plates of food.
Yes.
Arranging the couch into a nest. Yes. So they can have a movie night with a selection of blankets.
Yes.
And
who are these women?
When they're pregnant and stuff, a lot of the times.
Who are these angels? Like,
this is how my man serves me. And my friend.
Wait, the man does it.
The man does it.
Oh,
for
oh,
the woman. I thought hell no. You're like, hell no.
I thought you were saying the women do this for the man.
No.
I want a nest.
The men do it for the women to serve them or whatever in their pregnancy. And my friend, who's newly married and newly pregnant, yeah. was like, I've been having fights because, you know, he's just not doing this stuff for me. I was laughing my ass off. I'm like, this is not, just stop right now. That's not real. It's not going to happen.
Oh, my God. I know. Now, this genre.
I'm like.
Horrible. Horrible genre. Because, by the way, if.
How many fights is this creating in marriages? I'm like, if you keep, you're going to hate his guts. And then the other thing was so sweet.
I just have to say this. I was already getting annoyed hearing that some women are doing this.
Women.
Thinking it was women. And I'm already like, what the fuck? I want a nest. I want my nest.
Yeah, you're mad at me. You bitch.
What the fuck? Is this a thing that I wasn't aware of? So, yeah, it can only incite.
Exactly. And no one does that.
Oh, God. You.
No one fucking does that. And another thing I'll hear from women is they're just like, yeah, you know, I'm throwing up. He doesn't understand. Like, when is he going to understand? I'm like, never. He's never going to understand. Lean on your female friends and don't, a man is never going to understand that. And they really, you guys don't get it until the baby is like crowning. That's true. And maybe sometimes even takes a little while after that. I mean, it's just, you're just, you're looking for, you're asking for trouble there, I think.
I didn't even know about this dark, whoever these darklings are out there throwing at. Well, I've seen.
This is a whole genre. They're like, Chad makes me 6 meals in the morning. This is the healing food I need. Every day, it's like, does Chad have a fucking job or what?
Well, no. What we need, I'm fine with Chad making 6 meals, but I want to see the fights. I want to see the in between. That's all.
The fight is like, we got to get this fucking brand deal up, Chad. Okay,
Chad, you didn't arrange the tomatoes.
The blanket company. You, wants to see the nest.
I'm sorry. Look.
The deliverable.
I'll fix it. I'll fix it. Due. I support this fucking family, Chad. You get that fucking comforter right. I'm not selling comforters with this shit.
Yeah.
You understand that we make $15 for every one of these we fucking sell, Chad?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah, I just want... I've seen also... TikTok videos of like clearly like new couples in the manic episode and they're like doing their love dance or they have some awful vomit inducing hell ritual where they'll be like, when this is, you know, Lisa's feeling down today, so I'm gonna give her 5 minutes of unconditional positive affirmation.
Oh yeah, or that, the eye gazing.
Oh,
and they film it.
Oh god, and they film it. It's the filming part. It's
fucking sick.
I don't have anything against. Right now, I'm sure there's some beautiful fucking J.R.R. Tolkien elf level couple in some twee ass fucking cottage with a tea, and they're about to. They're about to watch, God, what's that fucking guy who makes all the twee movies? They're about to watch they're listening to like ukulele music. They've got their fucking wind chimes up and butterflies are everywhere. And they're just so in love and they put honey in each other's mouths in the bathtub. But the moment you set a fucking camera up to film it.
Disgusting.
Done. It's done. No.
Yeah.
No one buys it. The only people buying it are idiots. Stop it. You set up a tripod. You set up your fucking camera in the middle of your incredible romance.
Yeah.
It is no longer a romance. It is a fucking movie that you're monetizing. Your love isn't enough. You got to turn that shit.
That's not to say, I'm not just trying to say that you're not supportive and sweet. You are. You hold a space for me. First of all, you know, you provide for the family and I get to be a mom who's with her children as much as she wants to be. And that is amazing. And also just the fact that I was able to have these children is like, you know, the bigger family thing was more my like vision. And you gave me that. And it's wonderful. But I mean, you're working hard. I'm working hard. I don't know where these people are getting the fucking time to be doing these things.
Well,
I don't know.
It's just that alchemizing of the relationship into dough. By the way, we got to cut to a commercial.
Okay.
I'm just kidding, you know, because I'm fucking, we're doing the same goddamn thing. It just occurred to me.
Oh my God, we are.
Look what we're doing. Look
we're
at
the
us.
Worst.
We are the, when one finger points 4 more points back at you.
At least, though, there's some honesty here.
Yeah, and at least we don't. I mean, but the other thing is we do these, like, quarterly. Where these people fucking stroboscopically film
daily,
themselves
daily. Nightly and ever so rightly.
I mean, it's still in the same. I mean, I guess we're talking about a scaling issue, but so I want to fully admit my own hypocrisy here.
I think, though, the theme is, like, just lowering expectations for everyone in your life is a good thing.
Oh, I mean, expectations.
Right.
Expectations are the devil's playground. You want to ruin your fucking life? Have some fucking expectations. As to quote the great Zen master, the third patriarch of Zen, the great way is not difficult for they who hold no preference. The moment you have fucking preference, say goodbye to happiness. I don't care what the fuck your preference is. The more complex your preferences are, the less happy you're going to be, because you've got to get all those preferences met before you're happy. You evaporate preference, things suddenly become great, but we're humans.
Yeah.
We have fucking preference.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is. You know, it's just working with that and know, at least know that you have a bunch of fucking preferences and that they're not getting met.
Yeah.
It's not going to fucking happen. If they do, great. That's a icing on the cake.
Marriage is a big surrender into that.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's something, you know, this was in a podcast with Trudy and Jack a few podcasts ago. Because, you know, I was bitching to you because for whatever reason, I went into like a really, I started getting annoyed. And this is like
nerdy,
spiritual nerd shit. But
what were you annoyed about?
I was getting annoyed with the Bodhisattva thing.
Oh, yeah.
So for those of you who don't know, Bodhisattva, you take this vow and you say you're going to liberate all sentient beings and that you will not gain enlightenment until all beings have been liberated from the bonds of suffering. And I heard that early phase Buddhism. I'm like, cool, whatever. And then the more I thought about it, the more I realized that is just horse shit. Like, what are you going to fly to Alpha Centauri and like give a back rub to a gelatin ball?
I think you're
ball?
Just supposed to send out a prayer.
Yeah, but even the prayer seems stupid to me because it's like, okay, who am I praying for again? A sentient amoeba living in Titan.
You know what's funny? When I pray, I don't know if it's just because I was raised Christian. Not that this is a tenet of Christianity, but I always feel afraid to ask for too much. So I'll always pray. If I'm doing like a general prayer, I'll be like, my children, Duncan, and if you have time, me.
Oh, that's so sweet. If you have time, the creator of time.
Yeah, I'll be like, if it's not too much.
I wish I could help you, Aaron. I'm slammed. You know, kind of in the fucking middle of making.
So I definitely wouldn't be adding everyone into my prayers because I have like.
Right.
I know we've talked about my like. I don't lean toward abundance.
Yeah, right. Yet. You're getting
there. I'm working on it. Yeah.
But like then I talked to Trudy about this and she's like, you know, the way I see it is you want to liberate the world from your projections. That's what that means. It means that if instead of putting all your expectations on the world, projecting good, bad, right, wrong, ugly, pretty, all that stuff, what happens if you don't do that to the world? What if you alleviate the world of your instantaneous judgments and just let the world do its thing and let the people around you be themselves? That's cool because it seems more pragmatic.
Remember recently someone was talking about this, but they were saying that this is happening when you love someone too much.
Oh, yes.
Remember?
Oh, my God.
They were talking about your children and how she recommends you love your children a little bit less because of all the mess that gets into it.
And
you had a real problem with that.
Well, here's why I had the problem. Because, like, to me, I know what that is, and I do it still to this day, and I hopefully I'm doing it less. And what that is, like, so you start getting into spirituality, and you like talking about it, but you don't want to seem like a softy, so you try to come up with an angle, a cynical angle.
A little bit of edgelording?
Yes. So I, as the king of spiritual edgelording, fully admitting I do it, I saw that as spiritual edgelording. It's like...
A confusion, really.
Well, the quantification of love, I think.
I think it's the misappropriation of, or the, you know, the misqualification.
Yeah.
That's not love. Whatever causes your neuroses with your children, your hangups, your trauma, you know, your expectations of your children, that's not the pure innate love you have for your children.
You
that's something else.
When you break through however you break through. Maybe you break through with psychedelics, maybe you break through with meditation, maybe you break through with like some yogic practice. But when you finally break through and fall into love, there you can't, it's like quantifying, like,
but by the way, like the language even there, I have a problem with it a little bit, like the breakthrough as if it's a singular event.
No, I don't mean it like that. I mean,
you know, there's a path.
The, I wish it was a singular event.
It's in your coming and your going, and it's a constant.
You're a yo-yo.
Yeah.
The yo-yo.
Because I think especially in spirituality and psychedelic community, there's like, it's this singular psychedelic event.
I did not mean it like that.
I've broken through and
no, I don't mean it
seen
like
the
that.
Flower of life, and here's my ayahuasca story.
Don't mean that. Okay. I mean there, I...
That really irritates me.
I have sporadically gone into a place where there isn't me and there isn't a you, mm-hmm. and it's just love. And it's,
and you've left that place 100 times.
Yes,
more.
Are you fucking kidding? Yeah. What the fuck? I can't stay there. I either leave it by trying to quantify it. So when you're in it, you're like,
this is it.
Is this samadhi, nirvana? Is this extinguishment? What is this? What color is it? How do I do it again? I don't want to lose. By the time you're like, I never want to not feel like this.
It's gone.
It's gone. Yeah. So it's a yo-yo, but I do feel like I've been there. And so when you're there, the notion that love is a thing you can measure out in like, okay, I'm going to give you a teaspoon of love today instead of a cup of love, because if I give you a cup of love, you're going to get love sick. To me, that's not how I perceive love.
Or I think she was saying like it was more if you love them, if you tone down that love a little bit, you might be able to parent better.
Yeah, I just don't think love is the right word for what she's talking about. I mean,
this went viral.
I know. But yeah. I just remember like it's another Ram Dass lecture where he's saying when I say I'm in love with you, I don't mean like you have love.
Soul, not role.
Yeah. I'm in love. Like love is everywhere and I'm in it with you. You are the nexus point of love for me in the world. That's fucked up. That's how you really lean into somebody way too much. It's not fair to them because it's not the case. It's like
that is something you and I do, I think, a little bit.
What?
Depend on each other a little bit for that.
Yeah,
too much.
That's not good.
That's probably like most of the source of our unhappiness is probably like, you are the fountain I need to drink from today, right?
Yeah,
like we do that.
It's like someone in the ocean with a fountain. Being like, let me drink out of this one fountain. I just surround you. All it is, the whole thing is love. And honestly, the breakthrough thing is also, I think, for me, a distortion. But this is purely intellectual from reading. They say the more you like are able to sort of catch glimpses of this thing, the more you realize that there isn't a separation between
right
the ice or the set.
There That's is, what I it, think.
It's
yeah.
all the same love. There isn't a separation between
right.
the ice or the set. There
That's
is,
what I it, think.
It's
yeah.
all the same love.
Yeah.
But for me, I don't see that yet.
This also ties in. I saw someone, a lot of people have been, someone asked me, if you're a Christian now, do you fuck with Ram Dass anymore?
That's funny.
Or which is really funny to me, you know, and or especially like, I think there have been some questions about you being a Christian.
I tell Aaron.
Which is really, it's just so funny.
I try not to read comments.
I read comments.
And Aaron brings me comments like a cat brings in dead animals. And So even though I've been disciplining, and it takes discipline.
I don't always look. I just sometimes look.
Yeah, I don't care if you look.
But and I have a very thin skin.
The annoying thing is you look, you'll pick out like a choice shitty comment and like a messenger from
No, I get the worst ones.
You're the troll messenger. So like you don't
handle. No, but some of it is interesting.
You handle it. That- mean shit. Assuming I'm gonna look at it and be like, oh, this is great, not realizing I also have a thin fucking skin. I'm also
no,
insecure.
You don't. Not no, as much
more than you might think. I just me. Don't show it because I've been
you're still a psycho entertainer, so you're somewhat
I still remember a comment from a long time ago. Duncan, you piece of shit with your little wick of a penis.
That's great.
It hurt me.
Were you worried it was someone you slept with?
No, it was a dude. It was like some muscular dude because I looked at his profile. And it was like, I'm still being bullied. I mean, and I never thought of my penis as a wick. So it was such a perfect insult. But you.
Yeah, but comments. Yeah, but.
But let's talk about my Christian accusation.
Yeah, that's what I want to talk about.
Yeah, people.
And me too. I'm getting it from my friends. They're like. What does this mean for you? Are you cool anymore?
It's so funny to me because it's like,
are you telling your kids they're going to go to hell?
It's not the fault lays in the false prophets. Mm-hmm. The fault lays in the people who are psychologically abused using the symbol set of Christianity, not them, but the abusers. And so the general conception of Christianity in the world is not, at least my understanding of Christianity, but is a real surface level trauma-based understanding. And I don't blame people who, because I know mm-hmm. people who've been through fucking hell being raised in that kind of household, rejected by their parents, like told that they couldn't be gay, like the worst.
Yeah, of course. I was raised Catholic, yeah. So I get it. But well, I think I can speak for both of us and say that when we were married, Ram Dass told us our relationship would be the primary vehicle toward a better relationship with God. Too. And so I think that's first for us, right? Is like our relationship is the practice.
For sure.
And our relationship is sort of, that's probably first and foremost.
100%.
Yeah.
And the more I think about the things he said to me, mm-hmm. the more I realize he wasn't fucking around ever. Like, even though he had that big smile and like, he wasn't saying shit just to say it. Like, he meant everything he said.
Yeah. I know. And then, you know, for me, I loved Ram Dass. It was such a joy and a pleasure to be around him. But for me, like, the real connection was with Neem Karoli Baba. Which Ram Dass would love me saying that anyway.
Yeah.
But, and Neem Karoli Baba really is what led me back to Jesus. And Neem Karoli Baba would cry about Jesus.
Yeah.
And say he was lost in love. And yeah, so.
We have a non-traditional view of Christianity, though. I mean, that's the.
Yeah.
That's the truth. Like, my view of
Christianity. We're more into Christian mysticism, right?
Yeah, I think that's how you would categorize it. But for a lot of like fundamentalists, that is not kosher. Mm-hmm. I mean, they would burn people at the stake for like Meister Eckhart, one of my favorite Christian mystics, was excommunicated from the church for his views. And a lot of the Christian mystics, they kind of went against the priest class. The idea is the priest class initiates you into the teachings with a formulaic, this is what it means. No, this is what it means, not whatever crazy shit you've cooked up.
Yeah, I see. I do think I've become more traditional and conservative, but that's probably pretty normal with age. I don't know. But
yeah,
I also like in the Christian mommy groups, like one thing I don't identify with is all the fear around magic. Tarot cards. I mean, remember I told you I got in a fight with someone on the mommy group because I said my children's souls talk to me and I pull them. Like I hear my children's souls talking to me on the other side of the veil. Oh, no, no, no. Don't say that in the Christian mommy group.
Dark-sided. No, there is that, like, I don't know what you want to call it, man. This, like,
fear.
It's fear, but their interpretation of this wild text that is
to be taken literally,
innately psychedelic.
Like, yeah.
And, like, you know, they don't even know what the angels actually look like. Like, you read the descriptions of these, whatever these creatures are that people are encountering, and it's like, that shit was not a thing with a wing, with wings and a halo and a little harp. That thing, there's a reason the angels start off all of their communications with "Don't be afraid."
But for the record, you are a Christian. You were raised Christian.
Well,
but I mean, you are also a practicing Buddhist.
I just don't.
But there are lots of Christian people out there that would say you can't do that.
I don't like the labels. I don't like the labels.
You are a Christian, though.
I mean, I love Jesus.
Yeah.
But I don't think that makes me a Christian.
Do you identify him as your Lord and Savior?
And I'll tell you this. When Jesus was walking the earth, there were no Christians. Nobody called themselves a Christian. There was no mass. There was no outfit. There was no intonation of some hymn.
But you are okay with, I'm doing a lot of scripture and work, Christian work with the kids, and you're okay with that.
Of course.
You like that.
Yeah, of course. I don't see anything.
But I also do a lot of, you know, like, one of them was asking me about Noah's Ark.
Let me answer Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
Okay.
I refer to God as love, meaning that Jesus is a messenger or a emanation of the love field.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, it's a person who just was purely consumed. There wasn't any separation. It was pure love coming out of them all the time. Perfect, pure.
And we've seen love. That in real life.
Yes. And so that Jesus, historic Jesus figure, is my Lord and Savior? No, that's ridiculous. No, I don't. But do I think that love is the only hope that anyone has, that what that is what we are, and that reconnecting with it will save you?
I agree with you, but I take it a little more literally, I think, than you do, but I also agree with you. I don't think the vehicle matters.
No, I do think that, like, once
I don't think there's a right way,
but finding
into God,
finding a path and sticking with it is important. And, like, that what I love about your Christianity is that you are dedicated, devoted to it, study it, contemplate it, think about it, use the images and symbol sets to further your deepening of your understanding of God.
But also, that's don't beautiful. Confuse people, because sticking with it means, like, walking off the path too.
Absolutely.
Coming back to it.
Prodigal son.
God loves you and you're coming and you're going, and it's
right. The healing is in the return.
The path isn't linear.
Yeah. The delight of, like, getting obsessed with Buddhism for so long and then going back to the Bible and reading.
I know you've been going back to the Bible more lately.
Reading it and, like, having, like, this entirely different cosmology, and then realizing there's, like, really the difference here is symbols. It's the essence of the teachings don't go that far from one another. And at least from my understanding, I think that, like, where people get into trouble, the atheists get into trouble because they have been hornswoggled by the literalists. So they get in a war with literalists. The literalists are fucking assigning all these human attributes and limitations to this infinite, unlimited, super creative, undomesticated, undomesticatable, wild energy. And so you get the literalists trying to control that, which is hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
It's like trying to, like,
yeah, I've been mingling with them.
Right.
They don't care for me much.
Then the atheists, at least the online atheists, not like the ones, other ones, they go to war with the literalist interpretation of this thing. And then they miss out on the deeper reality of it, or, like, what it's pointing to. and they waste all their time in an arm wrestling match with people who have, if you ask me, misinterpreted or have allowed themselves to get trapped in a symbol set that is not as rigid as they think it is. And then they clash and collide and, and
yeah, but I love the atheists. I mean, I love it all. That was like my atheist phase was a delight.
I love the atheists.
I can't wait for our kids. You know, our kids ask us all the time, or I tell the kids all the time, you can decide what you believe. This is what I believe. This might be what daddy believes. This is what the Bible says. He's like, was there really an ark? And I'm like, I'm not really sure. Duncan doesn't like that one. The ark really bothers you.
Listen, I'm not getting in the way.
But I didn't tell him. Yes, certainly. You know, I believe the Bible, you know, these are stories meant to teach us something. But, you know, I can't say there wasn't an ark.
Hey, what's the sound?
I can't say that.
What's the sound of one hand clapping? Was there one hand clapping? It's like, I don't think so. But the point of the koan is not to like, it's to get you to a place, which I think he got to right away.
Oh, yeah, because he said, I said, you can decide what you think. And he said, I think it is real because God is love and love is in your heart. He's so sweet.
Our little guru.
And I said, that's wonderful.
And love can do anything. Love is magic. And honestly, you know, I do believe that. I don't think that there's any limitation to it. I think it can show up anyway. I think it can, and that miracles are just those moments where it like, it just, for whatever reason, it shows up and it astounds people, confounds people, infuriates people, spontaneous healing, spontaneous transformation of a person's
life.
We've
seen it in our own.
We've
seen so many miracles.
So don't fucking like that. That's, but I get why humans want to put a saddle on anything that fucking moves. Anything, we want to saddle it, train it, make it sit, make it stand, roll
over. Sell it.
Sell it, bottle it.
Pave paradise.
Put up a parking lot. Isn't that ironic? Don't you fucking think? It's like fucking rain on your fucking wedding day. And airplanes are fucking tubes in the sky, motherfuckers.
Yeah, they are. But rain. It's like water.
I just don't. I think it's like rain is water. What? No, it's not. It's air. Rain is condensed air.
No,
what are you talking about?
Water.
Rain is. No.
Yeah.
When the wind blows, it makes the clouds shake and they fall apart. And it's
cloud
pieces.
Evaporated into the
rain.
Out of the atmosphere.
No,
and
you're embarrassing yourself.
Down.
You're embarrassing yourself because people are, you're about to get hit with so many people correcting you. Everyone knows that when the wind blows, it makes the clouds fall apart. And rain is cloud pieces from a collapsed cloud falling to the earth. It's pieces of cloud. Rain is pieces of cloud. Everyone knows that.
No, man. It's
okay.
Water.
All right.
Dripping down.
All right. Well. In the Ark of the
down,
Covenant.
Down.
And the Ark was real.
Down.
And the Ark was real.
What about, did you make slippery dickery dog dicks?
No, but I wrote it. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
This is going to be on a different one.
By the way, if anyone hasn't figured out, we are geniuses.
Okay, here it goes. Slippery dog dicks. Better slow down when you running because them dicks slick. Don't need to make my doggy do dumb dog tricks because when he makes his rabbit slide out of his dog slit, it's like magic. Slippery, dippery dog dicks. If the dog is hot or cold, it gets a slow lick. Then I throw a frisbee, but he will not run for it because fetching may be fun, but he likes it when I'm fetching on that pink stick. Pink stink.
What? That was the perfect place to put cum.
But he likes it when I'm fetching out his doggy cum.
Yeah.
When I'm fetching out his dog. Thank you. Fetching out.
Fun when getting his.
Because fetching may be fun, but he likes it when I'm fetching out his doggy cum. Thank you. And then the last line, maybe you could help me finish this. I did last night. I'm like, what am I doing? Pink stink slicking my slippers in the kitchen while I'm slurping on a slippery dog dick.
Dog dick. It's supposed to be a little bit harder though.
Slippery
dickery dog dick.
Okay, you want it? Okay, you read it like that.
No.
Come on.
I can't. I couldn't possibly.
Slippery dickery dog dicks. Better slow down when you're running because them dicks slick. Don't need to make my doggy do dumb dog tricks because when he makes his rabbit slide out of his dog slick, it's like my magic slippery dippery dog dicks. If the dog is hot or cold and gets a slow lick, then I throw a frisbee, but he will not run for it because fetching may be fun, but he likes it when I'm fetching out his doggy cum. Pink stick slicking. My slippers in the kitchen while I'm slipping on a slippery dippery dog dick. Aaron.
I have to say one thing before we go.
Yes.
On the last podcast, no one said anything to me about this, but I've just been thinking about it. So I just want to get this off my chest. I made some comments about free birth and about babies dying and stuff like that. And I've been educating myself a little bit more. As I will continue to, and
I need to make a point.
No, I have to say
you just rapped about slippery dog dicks, and you're about to do some apology for to the free birth movement.
Yeah, I have to.
Okay.
I just want to say that, you know, I'm 100% supportive of women and their autonomy and their birth choices, and also that the industrial medical complex continues to be a dangerous place for women to give birth inside of, and whatever women think they should do, feel empowered to do, or educated to do for themselves and their babies is great.
I completely disagree.
And that's all I want to say. That's it.
I completely disagree with you. All right. I'm just
kidding. All right. High five. Because we started off, we were there was some turmoil in the home right before we started this.
Nah, that's just fine. Everybody, this is aren't I lucky? You're so beautiful.
Thanks,
babe. I love you so much.
I love you too.
God bless you, sweet darling. And to all of you out there.
Do you think Jesus approves of slippery dickery dog dicks?
No. Not the symbolic.
I'm taking the cross off.
Not the cosmic Jesus. Not, and I don't even think the love field I was rambling about, like slippery I think we might have destroyed the fundamental ground floor of love that exists in all things with that.
We'll be dropping that track next in 2024.
Later on in this week. Oh, my lucky guest.
I want to be on it.
What?
I want to be on it. The track.
It's too late. Fuck. You don't get to. Well, they get to hear the process. They get to think, my God, how did he find a wife who helps him write slippery dippery dog dicks? It can happen, friends. If I can find a beautiful woman like this, surely you can too. You will find a woman to help you compose songs about sucking dog dicks.
If you just believe.
Good night.
That was Aaron Trussell, the queen of planet Earth. I hope that you will pray to her at night. She will come to you in your dreams, and you will not make eye contact with her in your dreams, because we're noting that. And once we are finally on our thrones, those who have decided to be so impetuous as to look into her beautiful blue eyes will be punished. You can only look at her boobs. I'll see you later on this week. Until then, God bless you.
Slippery dog dicks. Better slow down when you want them, cause them dicks slip. Don't need to make my dog do dumb dog tricks, cause when he makes his rabbit slide out of his dog slit, it's like magic. Slippery dippery dog dicks. If the dog is hot or cold, it gets a slow lick. Then I throw a frisbee at him when I run for it, because he's fetching me before, but he likes it when I'm fetching out his doggy gum. Come. Stink slipping, my slippers in the kitchen while I'm sipping on a slippery dippery dog dick. Don't judge it if you don't love it. Just buy yourself a cat and start sipping on the cat's slick dick.
Slippery dippery, I don't need a cloak to know when it's time to suck off me dog. Slippery dippery, I don't need a cloak to know that it's time to suck off my dog. Suck off my dog, suck off my dog. Suck, 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 suck my dog.